now to Deuteronomy. I thought I was finished with this series on life decisions. On last Sunday, we shared with you the Mother's Day message, but the Spirit of the Lord led me back to a passage of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 30 is where we'll find our Scripture text. Verses 19 and 20. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Verse 20. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We want to share with you a brief message today. The greatest decision in life. The greatest decision in life. I want you to think about that today. The greatest decision that you will ever make in life is now before us. That decision. This is a very simple message, but it's one that should hit the heart of every one of us. It is one that should challenge us. It is one that should encourage us. These words of Moses, spoken to the congregation of Israel before they entered into the promised land, Moses said to them, today you must choose. You must choose. What will that choice be? What will that choice be in your life and in my life? How will you choose? Father, we again thank you for your blessing. We thank you for just the tremendous love that you poured out in our lives. Help us to love you back. Help us to honor you and to serve you. God, we pray that we would be changed by what we hear and that, Lord, we would be changed for the good. Give us hearing ears and, Lord, a ready heart to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You know, I grew up in the country, and I thank God that we loved that environment because it was a simple life. There weren't a lot of things that you had to do except farm. Y'all might have quiet in here. You're making me nervous now. But on the farm, I learned that even in that simple environment, you'd had to make decisions. You had to decide on when you would plant the crops, when you would harvest, how you'd be responsible, and other things that went on. As I went to other areas and I started living there, I had to make more decisions. As I was doing research, I found out that in 2017, Cornell University, the researchers there did a study and said that every day you make 35,000 decisions. Some of them may be simple ones, some of them are more complicated, but wow. Can you imagine the brain functioning? Will you blink? Will you smell? And all of these things going on. And sometimes we are not even at the cognitive level where we can say, I'm making a decision. It just happens. 35,000 decisions that you make every day. The research went on to say that 226.5 precisions or decisions are made about food. What are we going to eat? When are we going to eat? Those decisions that you make on the average each and every day. Frank Graff of the University of North Carolina TV reported that these decisions go through processes. It's not just something that, oh, I'm making a decision, but they have different levels, different things that you think about and ways that you decide. One is impulsiveness. Well, you just kind of react. And what you're doing, being impulsive, you're making a decision between the other options and the first option. You're saying to yourself, I just want to get it over with, so let me go ahead and take the impulsive route and get it done. It's kind of like, let's make a deal, right? You don't want to wait to see what's behind door number one, two, or three. You say, let me take the first one. Let me take the money and be done with it. That's impulsive. That's one thing when it's a minor issue, but when you become impulsive over something that is really critical, it can harm you. It can harm you. But then the second thing that he brings out is the compliance strategy. Some people make decisions and it's just kind of complying. I just want to go along, get along. You know, I don't want to make any waves. Well, you are making waves because you're making a decision. And if you decide on everything that comes your way, you're going to find yourself in a world of trouble. You're going to find yourself deciding not to do what's really important and then to do what's not important. As we move further, we find that another decision that people make is one delegating. You've got the impulsive person, you've got the compliance person, but then you've got the one who delegates, where they're saying, let me just push the decision off to someone else. It may be a boss that delegates, that says, I'm not going to do this. That's why I hire employees. They're going to do this. Some people, it's not a position of authority, but it's in a position of influence. Did you not know that children carry this day a tremendous amount of power? You got kids making their parents decide. Everybody's afraid of the kids. What a day that we're living in. What a time that we're living in. Rather than doing what's right, I didn't have such a choice when I was growing up. You didn't stand up in your parents' face and tell them what you were not going to do and what you were going to do. You didn't have that option. Oh, come on, talk to me up in here. But today is a day where people want to avoid responsibility, and so they'll delegate that decision to someone else. You have a persuasive person in your life, and they'll say, well, I can't do this. And so somehow through their persuasion, they can delegate and say, oh, let me do it. That can happen. And it is happening. And the person who uses that emotional appeal will never have the wonderful responsibility of doing what God tells them to do. Anybody in the house today? Frank Graff goes on to say that there is also a process or a strategy called avoidance or deflection. I'm just not going to decide. I'm not going to deal with it now. I'm just going to tuck my head in the sand and pretend I'm a spiritual ostrich. You know, you're going to have times in life where you don't want to step up to the plate. You don't want to take what's coming your way. But let me just give you this assurance that God would not have put you in this race called life if he didn't want you to make the right decisions. Here's a good place for a question that you need to put on paper and you need to ask yourself, am I making the right decisions? Because one thing you're going to understand and see is that every decision carries with it a consequence. You're free to choose, but you cannot choose the outcome. Moses brought the children of Israel to the edge of the promised land. They're getting ready to go in. And Moses said, hold up, wait a minute. Wait a minute, there's one thing that you got to decide, and you got to do it today. You got to decide whether you're going to pursue the way of life or the way of death. You've got to decide whether you're going to choose the way of blessing or the way of cursing. And while this was directly spoken to the children of Israel, it applies to us. I don't want you to go to every scripture and think that God's talking to you. That's something that you should not do. You got to read a scripture within the context. But within this, God is also saying to every person, to every individual, to every human on this earth, you need to decide. Will you choose life or will you choose death? Some can brush it off and say, oh yeah, that's simple, I'll just choose life. But Moses didn't stop with that. He went on to say, if you're going to choose life, here's what goes along with it. You got to love the Lord. You got to obey his commandments. You got to listen to him if you're going to make that choice. Graff continues with his report, and he says that there's a decision that we make by balancing things out. You ever seen these logical people that they have? They want to do an analysis on everything. I call them the Mr. Spock. They're going to do an analysis. You know, Star Trek, they're going to say, wait a minute, you know, let's take the logical approach. Let me just back off and let me see how, and let me weigh the evidence. Sometimes life, you know, doesn't always work that way. You can use the logical approach when it's something that doesn't involve time, but if you got a tractor trailer coming your way and you got to make a decision, sometimes common sense will say, get out of the way, fool. Choices that you and I make. May I say to you today that you are the result of the choices that you've made. Good or bad, in or out, up or down, you made the choice. And you could have made the choice by saying, I'm not going to choose. That in itself was a choice. Let me bring something else into this factor here. As I studied this message, I also understood something. People say, well, why is God giving me a choice? Why is he giving me a choice? Because that's the way God does through grace. We don't understand it. And if you and I are honest with ourselves, we made some pretty bad choices in life. But today, you and I have been given a brand new day. It may have been something that happened yesterday. You and I can decide whether or not what happened yesterday comes with us into today. You can decide. Oh, yeah, preacher, how can we do that? Paul says, forgetting. Everybody say forget. No, say it again. You didn't hear yourself. Forgetting. He said, forgetting those things which are behind me. Where are they? And pressing forward to those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You can never be free to the future as long as your past is trying to hold you down. If you got your past dragging up behind you, how long you think you're going to pull that weight? You're not a locomotive. You're a human being. Let it go. Forgetting. That's one decision we can make, right? The last thing that Graff brings out in this is that he brings out the fact that we can also prioritize and reflect. And that's the one I want to drill home to you today. What does it mean when you're making a decision and something is unimportant and then something is really important? What do you mean by that? When my phone rings, I don't jump to answer it. I know that's going to get me in trouble because some people, that's the reason why he ain't called me back. No, I got this thing called voicemail, right? And I'll get back to you, or try to, or intend to, or plan to. Okay, I might. But the point is, we make the urgent or things that are immediate, we make that the one that has the highest priority rather than the thing that really is important. Every one of us in here today knows that the number one thing in your life that's really important is God Almighty. But we don't always give him that priority. We get to the place where what I want is more important than what God said. What I'm going to do with my life, that's more important. My career is more important than God. Come on now. If God snatched your next breath, how would you catch up with it? If God voided out your next heartbeat, what could you do about it? Who could you protest to? Your very life is in the hands of God. Now, I don't want to paint the picture of an angry God. That's not the picture I'm trying to paint for you. But what I am saying is, if he is not the number one priority in your life, then what is? And I will tell you also that if God is not the number one priority in your life, then what you got on your hands is an idol. You got an image that you built. It may not be a wood statue, it may not be made of gold, but whatever you built, and it ain't God, it's an idol. And your idol will keep you from making the right decisions. Notice I'm taking my time, right? One reason I'm getting old. You just naturally slow down. But the other reason is I want you to understand what I'm saying. Because the most important decision in your life is not where you're going to live, not who you're going to marry, what you're going to do in your future. The most important decision in your life is God. And some people have put him last. Oh, I'll get back to you. I'll do that later. You don't play with God that way. You don't put him off. Because what if he decided to put you off? You couldn't make it. So here we go, as Graf says, with this choice of prioritizing and reflecting. You prioritize when you rank him the highest in your life. Even if you don't have the strength and the ability to follow through, as at least admit that God is the most important thing in my life. He's the most important person that could be in my life. But notice he said, prioritizing and reflecting. Can I tell you what my grandma said? When I think about the goodness of the Lord, and all there's not been a morning that he hadn't woke me up. Not been a time where he hasn't provided food on my table. When I think about his goodness, when I think about his amazing grace for a wretch like me, I don't deserve it, but he deserves all the glory and all the praise. Can you just clap your hand? That's why you got two hands, so you can clap them and give God some praise. So here's Moses presenting to Israel this great decision. But he doesn't just say decide. He said, wait a minute. I want to call heaven and I want to call earth as witnesses. Two things that will not fade away. Two things that are greater than mankind. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. If you want to see the work of God, look at all that he has made. As Moses said, look, I want to call this earth as a witness. I want to call the heavens as witness this day about your decision. There's something spiritual about this, about the world we live in. We walk each day, and yet the trees, I believe, give God praise. Sometime in the day, the bird thanks God for his blessing. But here's man that God blesses every day, has this thing called logic, has this thing called the thinking process, and we don't even take time to think and to act on what we think. We don't even have time to give God a passing thought. What's wrong with us? Well, we got a pandemic. Pandemic or not, you still need to recognize that the Lord, he is God, and beside him, there is none other. So the decision. Moses said, let me call these witnesses. Let me call heaven and earth as a witness. That has to be really, really strong. That has to be really, really powerful if you're going to get earth as a witness. Amen? And Moses said, this is so important. This is so critical. Now, why is he doing this? Let's look at the history of Israel. Let's look at where they came from. As we know in the Bible, they're the descendants of this man called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had not only a lineage, but they also had a promise from God that he would provide for them. Now, watch this. God had blessed them to multiply, but what happened was when they went down to Egypt, They prospered there. They grew in number, but it got to the point where the Egyptians did not want to let them go. Are y'all still here? All of your life, you have lived sometimes in the grip of the devil. All of their lives as Israelites, they didn't have to make decisions. You know why? Because their Egyptian taskmasters made the decisions for them. All they had to do was get up, go to work, do what their taskmasters told them to do. They were slaves. So how does that apply to us? We're free men. If you got habits, if you got things in your life that are telling you when to do it, how to do it, and how long, then you're under the addiction. You're under the influence of your habit. They knew what it was like to obey because that's what they had to do in Egypt. So the concept of God saying to them, obey my word, was not a strange one. They got it, but many of them just didn't want to do it. I want to live my life. Well, you didn't live that life when you was in the territory of the devil. Are y'all still here? I'm going to tell you something. I was a pretty good sinner, if that word doesn't contradict itself. I knew how to party. I knew how to go out on Saturday night and then show up on Sunday morning in the church stand, in the church choir stand. I knew how to do that stuff. Come on now. I knew how to play the game. You know how to act, you know. And in the public's eye, I had good manners. But in the inside, I was wicked. Until I made a decision. I'm not going to live this way. God brought them to the border of Canaan, the promised land. And God said, now, this is a land, this is a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. This is a land that I'm telling you, it's got everything in it. But if you go into that land without God, it would have done you no good. Sometimes we want to get into the blessing, but we don't want to get into God. We don't really want to get to the place where we can love him with all of our heart. And so Moses said, I'm going to call heaven and earth to record this day that you make this choice. The choice was clear. Choose life. And what was the other option? Choose death. Choose blessing. And the other option, choose cursing. Now, any rational person that had got into the Mr. Spock attitude, they would have said to themselves, well, yeah, I'm going to choose that one. But Moses said, hold on a minute. I got one more thing to tell you. If you choose life, you got to choose God. And if you choose God, here's the process. Let me read the verse to you. Moses presented this to them. And in verse 20, he actually said to them, here's what you need to do if you're going to love the Lord, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may, look at this word, cling. I say that when people get married, they come into the church and they're all, you know, smiles and everything, and they're nervous. And I tell them, you got to cling to each other. You cling to something because you don't want to let it go. Are y'all still here? And my question to you, do you love God so much that you just don't want to let him go? Or do you come in on Sunday morning and do the religious thing and get all excited about God, then go out and do your own thing? That ain't clinging. That ain't clinging. Can I take you to the country for just a little bit? We used to have these things in the country called cuckleberries and better lights. And they would stick to you. It was hard to get them off of you, off of your clothes. And more than that cuckleberry, more than that better light, you need to cling to God. Why should I cling to God? Because he loves you. In the New Living Translation, the verse reads a little bit differently, but I think it gives out a greater meaning and understanding. Verse 20 in the New Living Translation, you can make this choice. Notice what he said. You can make this choice by loving God, by obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. How many of us are willing to do that? And if you do that, I guarantee God's going to do his part. So now's the point. The children of Israel, they're all excited, and they say, yeah, we're going to do this. God, thank you, God. We're going to serve you. We're going to love you. And why is it, several hundred years later, the same ones that had promised they were going to love God turned away from God and started serving idols? You know why? They had unchosen, if that's a word. It is now. You know how you can choose and then not to choose? But how do you unchoose God? You can unfriend people on Facebook, right? You can shut down your account. But how do you shut down God? How do you shut down your blessing? Here it is in this verse. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, by obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. This is the key. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Let's do a little wrap up. They had gone through 400 years of slavery. They knew what it was like to obey. Now they were coming into the borders of Canaan, and God wanted to bless them abundantly, wanted them to flourish in the land. And so Moses said, you got to choose. If you choose the Lord, then the blessing is going to go along with it. And the way you choose the Lord is to love him, to cling to him, and obey him. Real simple, right? But it's kind of like, you know, that thing that we used to do several years back. I've been here so long. I say several years back, and it's really been a whole decade. You know, so been 20 years or more. People have this little saying, you wear a little bracelet. What would Jesus do? Okay? And they'd wear that bracelet, and they'd look at it, and sometimes they'd pluck it and say, what would Jesus do? Whenever they came into a time where they had to make a decision or they had a circumstance or a problem, what would Jesus do? Now, you're making two assumptions. One is you knew or would know what Jesus would do, which in many cases we don't know because we never read the Word. How are you going to know if you don't know what the Word says? So that's problem number one. But then after you read the Word, we automatically assume the second thing, that you can do what Jesus did. Well, if you could do what Jesus did, then why would you need Jesus? Are y'all still here? I know some of y'all still wondering, what would Jesus do? And so the bottom line is, you really can't do what Jesus did unless you do one thing. By loving God, by loving God, by obeying God, you bring yourself into the realization of living for God. Now watch this. Watch this. You give to God your heart, but then what God does, he does something with your heart. He takes out that stony heart and puts in you a heart filled with his grace. Do I have any witnesses here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you have the audacity, if you have the gall, the nerve to say, I can serve the Lord, you're lying. You can't do it. But the only way you can is when you love God, and then he puts in you what you need. Are y'all still here? Don't get mad at me. Don't say, well, I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to condemn this thing. What would Jesus do? I ain't asking you to do all that. I'm asking you to decide. Car manufacturers, when they make these cars, they'll send them on the assembly line. You know, you got the frame that's made and then you put stuff in it. And now they got all these electronic devices and they got all this stuff. And that when you reach the end of the line, you have the car, and you say, man, this car was made, and it's all right, and it's going to run. But guess what? That car ain't going to run if you don't put some gas in it. And what I'm telling you, you can make all these spiritual commitments and go through the spiritual assembly line. Do I pray once a day? Do I pray 10 times a day? Yeah, put that on there. If I read my Bible, yeah, put that on there. And do I meditate? Do I do all these things? And put that on there. But you ain't going to run without the Holy Spirit getting on the inside of you. When you have God's Spirit on the inside of you, then you can do what Jesus did. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Never think that you could live the spiritual life without the Holy Spirit living and abiding in you. But oh, when you get God on the inside, I'm about to close here. I told you that 10 minutes ago, right? I'm going to close really this time. When you have God in your heart, when you have the life of God in you, when you have the Zoe, the power of the Spirit within you, then you can move about and you can say, you know what? I am a child of God. I know him for myself. He abides on the inside. You don't have to do all these other things. You don't have to say, I'm going to do what my Christian duty. Your Christian duty is just to listen to God. And if you listen to him, he will work in you. God will transform you. God will use you mightily. And when you look back over your life, how many of y'all do that every now and then? And you look at where the Lord brought you from. Can anybody say he brought me from a mighty long way? I'm not what I need to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be because I made a choice. So I close this message today asking you, if you've never done so before, maybe you've kind of drifted away and you need to get back to it. A lot of folk have been struck by the pandemic, but all the pandemic did was bring out what was in you in the first place. Amen. I don't go to church because of the pandemic. I was noticing that we was having absenteeism, amen, in the church, but long before the pandemic. And yet folk need God every day. I don't come here just to see if we can get numbers. I come here because I know that where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, he says, there I will be in the midst of you. Amen. I don't know about you, but in a week I need a spiritual bath. Can I talk to somebody? And when you love God, the Lord will come and bathe you in his love. He will fill you with his grace. He will give you a plan. He will give you a purpose. He will help you to focus so that you can move on with your life. That's what I'm talking about. Today, you and I need to decide. Will you make Jesus your choice? And I don't mean just simply saying, well, I'm going to give the Lord my life and I'm going to, yeah, you're going to give the Lord your life, but there's a whole lot more to it. God's going to give you his life. He's going to give you his power and his grace so that he can guide you. He knows what mess you can make of yourself, right? He knows what you can do. Put him in the driver's seat. Make him not the co-pilot, but the pilot of your life. And just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you. And Lord, I thought I was done with making decisions, but you taught me so much in this message that I did not know. Or either I had forgotten and did not realize. But today I thought about it. I thought about how precious it is to have you as Lord of my life. And if I've never told you before, I'm telling you now, God, thank you. From the bottom of my heart to the depth of my soul, I thank you. I don't know what you saw in me, probably nothing, because I really had nothing to offer you, but you had everything to offer me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Thank you for your amazing grace. Continue to love us and continue to mold us and shape us into the image and likeness of your Son so that we can talk like Jesus, walk like him, but more importantly, love like Jesus. Thank you for all you do, God. Forgive us for our many sins, but never stop loving us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.